Somebody asked me a good question, and I'm going to answer it here because I know other people are probably wondering is how did you end up repeating last Christmas when it was, I mean, it was hell. It was hard to get through. That's the truth. When you're by yourself, you're alone. You don't ask for it, but nobody asks to be alone by yourself. Last Christmas, I remember as a unit, is what is normal supposed to be, as everybody was getting into it. And my dad made a statement. He said, "You know what? Christmas is over. I'm not having Christmas dinner. I'm not having anybody over. Just everybody battling." And I don't know what it was then, even just ridiculousness, petty, unnecessary stuff. And I remember him saying that, and it was just like a shell shock. I mean, just standing there and like, is he serious? And like the next day, it was. I mean, that was the first year I had the Christmas. I didn't celebrate Christmas dinner or anything. But then I found out because somebody slipped on social media public and he did cook and he did have Christmas. It just wasn't for me. That's the truth. That may be hard for some to swallow, but we need to start being honest. That was the truth. That was the last Christmas I remember. That's how long ago, and it's been a long time. It's been over a decade as a unit. But when it comes to at least having somebody, last year was the first year. And everything that I'd gone through, what I needed was, and I should had, and there's no questions asked, and I agree with everyone, is you should still have had somebody there. If you're married to Eric, he could have made the effort to still been present. And not being present and just stepping up and making changes and doing his part, but just like brushing everything off and then just you leave somebody up and dry. He did that on my birthday too. Major milestone birthday on my 50th. Didn't celebrate it, didn't get me a card, didn't know nothing. I know for a fact, and this is the truth, and he knows, I literally always did something to celebrate his birthday. I always made sure to celebrate the holidays. I always kept some kind of normalcy. Even with dysfunctional family issues, whether it was my side or his side, I always maintained consistency and some normalcy. This year should never happen because I swore to myself I will never ever go through that hell from last year because it was almost impossible to get through. If I did not have links and organizations to talk to somebody, I would have never made it through last year. I wouldn't even be here. That's the truth. Because it was just way too much stuff, way too much. I lost Blue. She had horrible seizures, 45 minutes. I don't even want to get into that. Ventures with Polly, I was supposed to go and I wanted to travel a little bit. And Eric knew that I wanted to travel with my polydactyl cat, Polly. Babyface, he passed away. Before Christmas, this is all before Christmas. And what happened with that was, I mean, Eric threw a hysterical fit. I'm not going to be left alone. I'm not going to be having to take care of all the animals. I can't do this all by myself, whatever. But you left me. Three times, revolving door. Saying you're going to change, and this is this. Now, when you sign on things, it's supposed to stick, not at your convenience when you feel like. But what you did this time, this is the truth. Why I ended up this Christmas, which shouldn't have happened by myself, is because when I looked at the video cameras and stuff on security, and luckily I kept a few, and I looked back, it was between December 5th and the 9th, is when things got weird. He left for the day and he never came back. He never contacted, never called, no nothing. He texted later, late in the evening. About getting money from somebody in the area. I have no idea. It was the strangest things. I still don't get it. And that's the truth, so help me God. And he disappeared. Then he sends me a text that I'm coming by. I'm going to get all my stuff and blah, 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 which made no sense at all either. This is what happened. There's no way in living hell that I would want to have gone through what I did last year with Christmas by myself, even as. Whatever level you want to say of toxicity, I mean, being by yourself and alone when you're struggling already with your health is torture. You're torturing somebody. You're punishing somebody past word punishment. And it changes you. Last year changed me. I came out of the holidays a different person. This year is major changes. I'm going to come out of the holidays in a very, very, very major change person. Because this year, having to go through this a second year, not having a tree for a second year, I can't put up that tree by myself. And he knew that. And I'm 100% sure he's smiling and basking and happy. Because I never, ever, and I told him too, it's like, can't you get in the Christmas spirit a little bit just for me? I mean, like decorating would always complain and stuff. Like, can't you just do it for me? You know, can't you just be happy for once and fake it or something for me? Because look at all the stuff I did for you. I put you first before me for over a decade. And that's the truth. I put everything, him, everything before me, including my health. That's the truth, so help me God. You know, and it's almost like, in my opinion, is he literally, in my opinion, he knew exactly what he was doing and just at the right time. Whatever excuse, whatever he could find, blah, 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 blah. You don't leave somebody by themselves at Christmas intentionally. Period. That's not okay. And you have pets that you also are responsible for. They're not a picture frame, Eric. They're not an object, Eric. Per psychologist, they're living and breathing, and he is responsible, period. It's neglecting the animals that you're responsible for. And that's it. That's the truth. But I should have never, somebody asked me, no, I wasn't planning on. Because the house is a 50-50 responsibility, and so are the pets. Regardless, you come and go, do whatever you got to do. I don't care if you live in the backyard or whatever. You know? Because one thing that Eric has not done yet is apologize for a plate of things that he has done, and he has never taken ownership. Instead, he wants to flip it, twist it, and blame me. I'm not raising my hand. I'll say this again. I will never raise my hand for things that I am not, and not my responsibility, and not am I doing. I won't do it. I take responsibility I always have in my life for things I've done, but I don't take responsibility for somebody else's actions or lack of. Period. I just won't do it. But it was just gone. Financially, physically, helping out, everything. And let's face it, when you're like, what, less than 3 weeks, 2 weeks away from Christmas and not knowing what the hell is going on, I would have literally made other plans. And I think I've said this before, I think I wrote on Caring Bridges, I would have at least volunteered somewhere, preferably hospice location. They're always looking for people on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day to read books and do things and that. It required me also that I would have to find somebody to kind of make sure to watch, you know, because Blue is under the age of one. She's still considered a pup. She's 10 months old. I would have had to find somebody or have a friend maybe come in town or somebody to watch them while I do that. But I at least been able to plan ahead. There was no planning ahead. And I even told him, you know, you got to help out around Christmas and stuff too, you know? There's some certain points, and yes, I don't have to say it. I'm just going to say it. Is nobody in the right frame of mind wants to be alone for Christmas. Nobody should be alone for Christmas. And when people, you're alone for Christmas, and there's reason that you shouldn't be, and people are still alive, but they're treating you as dead, and continuing celebrating and eating and festivities and that, and acting like you don't exist. Well, you better change your tune after the holidays are over and after you've made it past Christmas. You better come out a whole nother person, and you better remember how people treated you. You better remember for the rest of your last, till your last dying breath, you better remember, because that's just not okay. So for those asked, is how did you end up a second year? Is because I believed someone who told me, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and they're going to change, and I got help, and blah, 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 blah. I believed all that. And I believed the same thing for a third time. But you can't be a revolving door in life with kids or with pets, because pets also can sense things just like kids. Pets get sick, they act sick. They get sick, they sleep, they're kind of not themselves. Okay, they're not, as a psychologist said, they're not picture frames and they're not whatever. And he needs to understand that. It's a responsibility of both parties. That's a responsibility. You don't just up and bail. And that's exactly what has happened. And then all of a sudden, I'm left by myself on Christmas. worse this year than last year. I thought last year was hell. This year, it's different kind of hell because it's just, I could have had time to plan things out and do something. You know, I went through the month, the beginning of the month, of still doing things, but he was still attending to his responsibilities and things that he agreed to legally. On a witness, sworn, notarized, raise your hand, signed document. Okay? He was still attending, and he just decided, I don't want to pay anything anymore. I don't want to help anymore. I don't want to do anything anymore. And there's always an excuse. Oh, you blah, 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 blah. No, there's no excuse except excuses. It's not excuses. It is your responsibility. You bring kids in the world, it's your responsibility. You bring pets around, it's your responsibility. And if two people, it's 50-50 responsibility. Nobody asked to be alone on Christmas. You know, but a second year around? Oh, hell yeah. This is definitely going to, when it's all said and done, oh, it's definitely, I'm not going to be the same person. I would never expect it to be the same person. And I'll never, ever be the same person. Because it's damn right cruel. I'm allowed to feel however the hell I want to feel. And if I want to feel that way after Christmas, then so hell be it. You know? No. No way, Jose, no how, no hell no, would I ever pull this on anybody. If you flip the script, no. No, I would feel like a bag of I don't know what. Okay? I wouldn't be able to sleep. My conscience would eat me alive, and it should rightfully so. And I would hope that maybe a lightning bolt strike me when I'm not looking. Because you do something like that, that's damn right cruel. When you intentionally leave somebody alone on the holidays, and you don't even, you just disappear, and you're not even taking a responsibility, hey, I'll do this, this, so you can enjoy a little bit of a holiday. You know, I'm an adult. I have responsibilities, which is called this house underneath the roof and the pets. I need to sell this house. Sell the hell out of this house. You know, because I need help. I need physical help. You know, I'm in a situation where I'm also falling on an insurance plan, and this is the craziest thing, but I'm texting back and forth with a friend of mine, no joke. Screenshot here. They went through the same thing when they were my age. You don't fall under this program or this program, because you're not at this age yet. So you can't fall into this program because you're not this age. You don't fall into this program because you're not that age. And this is the truth. You know, insurance don't want to cover this because you need to be of this age. And it's just the way it is in the United States. And she's, don't you remember me struggling? I said, yeah, I do. Actually, now I do. I mean, she was at her wit's end. I'm there. And she said, you're exactly where I was at. So it was meant to be that we connected again, because now I'm where she was. I can't do this all anymore. It's not the point of going into another house. What's going to be the difference? I'm going to tell you the differences. I am on a property where I have four large trees that butt up to this house. Mind you, this was not the house I wanted, and this is not the house I wanted to buy. This was Eric's house. He just bailed on it. Okay? There is these trees, and I'm not joking, every day have to run the blower. They drop these pineys, which are pineys. They look like pine cones, but they're really small. They drop those. They clog up the gutters. They clog up on the roof. Then you have, I don't know what the hell kind of seeds they are. A friend of mine knew sassafras tree. I don't know what they said it was. Somebody I used to be friends with, it came over and... These are some bitchin' ass trees, that's all I'm going to say. And I needed that laugh. I'm going to say it again. These are some bitchin' ass trees. Pain in my ass. I have never seen trees that constantly prune themselves, constantly dropping. I mean, the reason that they had to literally finally prune back all these suckers is because it started getting out of control. But it's like 24 hours, 7 days a week, every season, you're out there with the blower. It's crazy. It's impossible. I need to have some land where I'm not literally could reach out and shake the person driving by's hand or ask them to bring me a Diet Coke and they open it up and I drive by and just hand it to me. There's no, I mean, it's mostly all leeway. There's hardly any front property. And then I can't put a fence in the back because there's so many of these bitchin' ass tree roots that it's like when you put the fence in, the fence was already coming down. So that didn't work either. So I had these temporary fence panels. There is no like way the dogs won't go down the basement. Must have been witchcraft that was practiced down there. I don't know. Or Bobo the clown's down there. Or I don't know. Bigfoot. I'm not sure. But the dogs will not go down the steps. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. Will not go down the steps. So there's no point if somebody said, well, can you put in... actually, the family and... next city over that owns a business asked, could I put the same panels? Because that fencing in your front and drive by. I said, no, it's panels. Explaining they were interested in how this worked. And they said, okay, like construction panels. Yeah, and they were cut down, you know, to measurements to where, you know, it was, had to be approved and you get the ordinance of the city. But you could do this, whatever you want in the back. But the problem is there's so many tree roots that you can't even get a panel in, whether alone two privacy divider walls, which, I mean, literally... barely anything into the ground because you can't really get the thing in the ground and just happen to use bags of concrete. The dogs will not go down the stairs. So the only way to open a door in my situation is for them to go down the stairs, the basement steps, and go that way. They're not going to do it. So the temporary panels, which just come up out of the ground, I'd be put in the front so I can let them out. This is why I did things. I had help. I mean, hell, I got married to somebody. Sure, the hell didn't think it as it's just a temporary thing and I'm going to get to year 11 and let's just decide, oh, we're just tired and done with it. That's not what marriage is about. Marriage is you work your ass off no matter how hell it is or what the hell you go through. I don't care if you're snorting coke or you're banging the next door neighbor. I don't care at this point. I'm serious. Maybe I'm old school, but I always wanted to be that wife with the picket fence and the kids and the animals, and that's how I always wanted to be. And that's the truth. You don't just cave in because somebody gets sick and you don't want to deal with it and you feel inconvenienced and I'm no longer fun and taking you to places and trips and planning everything. And you never took me on one damn date that I can think of since I got married. And you admitted it. What the hell kind of relationship is that? It's just a roommate situation. Okay, on a piece of paper. You know, I'm sorry. You know, I'm allowed to say this, and I'm tired of holding back. I'm tired of not feeling. I'm tired of not expressing myself. I'm tired of it. I'm going to say whatever the hell I want, and I don't... Do you think it matters? No, it doesn't. I've realized being alone on Christmas, it doesn't matter what I say anymore. It doesn't matter. When you take a 1 year of hell last year, you know, and then you put it into a second year of surprise... towards the second week of December, poof, gone, you're gone. Have to have an attorney start doing a missing persons report thinking you killed yourself or something. And nothing to do with me. Don't ever use me. Don't ever do that. Don't you ever do that. Not the text messages I got. Don't ever do that. Don't ever anybody, No,
that's not
happening. Because your text messages ain't say nothing about that. I'll be home a little bit. I'll be back to the house a little bit later. Blah, 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 blah. I found some more investment money. I'll be able to get the investment money out. I'll be able to die. There was nothing else. Truth so help me God, my last breath. Anybody else? You want another story? I got the text messages. Let's talk. No. So, no, I did not, to answer question, and I explain myself, because I'm going to speak my truth, and both my feet are on the ground, because I'm just tired of it. I have sat back on so many things, and so much bad behavior, and rudeness, and I don't know what, that it's like, I wish I would have done a million things, and at least I could raise my hand and go, well, I did all this, you know what? And now I'm by myself at Christmas. I deserved every single bit because here, let me tell you, every single thing I did. No. Because the things that I went through and seen, no. I couldn't sleep at night. I wouldn't be all right with myself. Don't go cooking dinner for, say you're not going to cook dinner for Christmas, have difference. Not have Christmas and not cook dinner and tell me and then turn around and have it for your... whatever, I mean, I'm not going to say anything. Mom, how I feel, you're only in your favorite. Okay? Because I don't have kids. If I had kids, it'd be different. You're right. Things have been different if I had kids. But I'm treated as a nimbecile, nitwit, loser and a nobody because I don't have kids. I don't see it any different. Because I look at single parents that I know, and I don't see nobody treating them anything close, or would they do it because they have a child or children. But I have taken a lot, you know what, and less of, and being treated less of a human being because I don't have kids. Hey, I didn't ask for it. I had plenty of surgeries. I went through all that stuff with reproductive IVF, all that stuff. I went through all this stuff in Ohio. I'm sorry. People forgot. And I wasn't comfortable talking about it. But so no, I was not. If I had leeway, I would never, ever in this lifetime, my last dying breath, no, would have sat there and said, yeah, please, can I have a second year of celebrating Christmas alone by myself? You know, I don't care what the situation was. It didn't matter because when you make an agreement, listen, okay, I'll help. I'll do 50-50. I'll be attentive, blah, blah, blah. And you have a legally notarized sign and whatever. I'm so flustered with this. I'm so flustered with this year. This Christmas has sucked. And I'm going to say it. It is the worst Christmas I have. I mean, it beat last year. Last year was horrific. Last year was the saddest, most darkest point in my life. And I thought, what the hell did I go through oncology treatments for? For this? Are you serious, God? God, if you could have gave me a magic ball, I would have never went through oncology treatments. I would have rather died. And at least had hospice. Sure, it's the truth. This is what, I mean, I look at the big picture now today. I think this is why I went through oncology treatments to save my life. This is what I saved my life for? Are you crying out loud serious? Really? Is there a comedy club up in heaven? Is this a joke, God? What is it? Because I don't get it. No. I would have rather succumbed to my death and died. It was a matter of time. They didn't even know if I'm going to be able to live the next week. Because the blood vessels were just poof, ready to rupture. I was having bleeding. I was at the hospital a lot. Until they to the point right before they figured out. I was at the hospital all the time with hemorrhaging. I was having double cycles. I had two ovaries. One grew back from being taken out. I had this huge mass, this huge tumor. And I was hemorrhaging. Truth. And Eric was there. So how can you sit there and leave somebody sick as hell, fighting for their goddamn life, and I made a choice to fight to live for this? No. This is where I literally needed to say it. No, I'm sorry. No patient goes through oncology treatments and would foresee and want to go through this. They would rather be with their loved ones and family and their four kids in heaven. That's the truth, you know? And suicide is an individual choice. Don't go blaming people. That's not okay. It's not people. It's being hurt. That's why people around the holidays and suicide rates are so incredibly high. It's because people are hurt. And they don't know how to express and release it verbally, emotionally, so they can free themselves. I know how, because I'm using counseling and using it, not just going through the motions, using it and expressing and speaking my truth and saying how I feel. If you're a person and you're part of my journey, you're part of my story. There's nothing against that. I'm sorry. It's just, how were you in my story? Were you the good guy or were you the villain? It doesn't matter. You're still, everybody has people in their life. I befriended a neighbor in Ohio in a townhouse they lived like, good Lord, 25 years ago? She committed suicide. She took her Christmas tree, she put it downstairs in the basement, she lit it up beautifully, and she made individual letters to every family member that abandoned her, neglected her, and treated her like she was already dead and gone. And per chief, She wrote down how hurtful it was. And the hurt was so bad, she couldn't take it anymore. She didn't know how to express herself, and she became seriously depressed. On top of having Crohn's and her kidneys failing her. And myself and somebody else, everybody said she was such a mean person. Oh, she's a horrible neighbor and that. She has no kids. And she, her husband actually had died. So she was widowed. Didn't know this until years later. Everybody would never talk to her. They had nothing to do with her. They judged her. You can't go judging somebody what they look like or somebody else saying something. You got to figure that out for your own damn self. You make an ass of yourself doing so otherwise. That's the truth. That's not even being a normal human being, in my opinion. I didn't listen to what anybody said. I'll figure it out on my own. And she ended up being one of the sweetest women I've ever met in my life. I befriended her. We helped her out. We had a little bit of grass and the big privacy fence that was, you know, in the front. You know, our four kids played in the front. I had the person I was with at that time. He's a weed eater. We cut the grass. Started getting her mail. She trusted us, and man, there's no reason why not to. We got her medicine. You know, I took her to dialysis when she had nobody else to take her because she said, I don't have any family to take me, Kim. And the person that's supposed to take me can't. They're getting tired of taking me. And I said, why are they tired of taking you? It's not your fault. She was so quiet because she was so goddamn hurt. She killed herself because she was that goddamn hurt. Her family hurt the hell out of her. She didn't kill herself because of her family. She killed herself because of the hurt that she didn't know how to release and express. And she did it her way. And she lit that Christmas tree. And she put the letters. And she put them in envelopes. And the last prescription and the last grocery run that me and somebody else did, and this is the truth, and we were released to get her medicine and that, and she was under palliative care or hospital care or something. I don't know which one it was back then. It was 25 years ago, and things have changed so much. Got her prescription. It was a full bottle. I don't remember what it was, but I was told by a chief it was for her pain, for Crohn's. Got her a box of Twinkies, got a gallon of milk. I think there was a loaf of bread. I know the two things definite. I believe, like I think about it now and visualize it, I believe it was a loaf of bread. It was something. I'm sure the other person I was with listens to this podcast because I was told that you do, which, I mean, whatever. Just wanting to see how I'm doing. I'm struggling, just like you said. I'm struggling. You knew it. Because you knew the people that should have helped me, you even said yourself, they're going to let you down and they're just going to not even help you. You better hope you have somebody. You even warned Eric. But Eric didn't care. Didn't see her for like, it was not more than a week, maybe a little bit under a week. I didn't see her. I saw her car, but she always said, if you don't see me, either I'm in the hospital or blah, blah. We thought she was in the hospital. I didn't nobody say anything because nobody checked on her except for us. I literally knocked on the door. During this time, she committed suicide. I'm knocking on her door. I'm opening the screen door. I'm hearing a radio on. I'm calling her name. Brenda, Brenda, you okay? It's Kim. Brenda, I got your mail. I'll leave it here. I even brought cookies over, put it on our table, right as you open the sliding door, the table where she had her TV on. I could hear the answer machine go off. It wasn't a dream. I woke up and Brenda was standing next to me in a white gown, touched my shoulder and pointed over to the wall. Can you get my body? I'm over here. I don't know if I was dreaming or what, but I knew I was awake because I was waking up. It scared me so much. The person I was with, I remember calling them, and then I actually got up and I looked out because it was the top level of the townhouse and the bedrooms. You know, we butt up our townhouses, the walls, and her bedrooms would have been upstairs and that. And I opened the window and I peeked over, and you know, it's cold outside, so, you know, I don't have the windows open or anything. She had them cracked. I remember seeing strange flies. And I knew this wasn't just a farce. She was gone. And this wasn't her. This was like her spirit. I don't care what anybody says. I know what I saw. And the chief of police at that time knew exactly what I saw. Because when they found her, she was in that gown. And the neighbor, two doors down, said that they thought they saw her outside. In the strangest time, late at night, early in the morning, walking around and humming. And seemed like dancing and happy. But the coroner told the chief that would be almost impossible because she was already deceased that day and night when she saw her. He said, no, it's not. Not if that's her spirit. It was what I saw the next day. She was gone. That was the most saddest, shocking. I still think I was meant to cross her for a reason, because look where I'm at now. I become Brenda. But I learned from Brenda. There ain't nobody worth your goddamn life. No matter how hurtful people can be. And even if that's your damn blood and your family. There ain't nobody worth taking your life. She did not have the tools back then. There was no podcast, there was no blogs. She was too soft-spoken anyway. She didn't have the tools, and she didn't know how to express herself, free herself, and get that hurt out. And she bottled it up over and over and day after day after day. She was not a mean person that people were saying in the neighborhood. Oh, blah, blah. You can't believe nothing anybody says in the neighborhood. I'll learn that. Because people were just going to, you know, people don't take the time to get to know each other. They just want to go up to the person then. Go talk. Introduce yourself. You know, quit judging people without getting to know them. Amen. Isn't that in the Bible? Did anybody crack it open Christmas Eve yet? Maybe tomorrow? I don't know. I didn't judge her, that's for sure. I befriended her. And she was the most sweetest person I ever met. She was soft-spoken. She was gentle. But she was hurt. And she told me. Not a lot, but I listened. And she said, I just wish I had family. I don't have anybody. And I said, well, you got us. And she would just kind of smile. There are times she'd leave a telephone pickup, leave a message on the answer machine, give her the home number. And there's times that sometimes I just couldn't understand her because her body was shutting down. But I think to myself, if she wasn't so emotionally hurt and the family wasn't so goddamn cruel to her, that you know they had to affect her, all that stress built up, that had to affect her health. There's no way possibly in hell it didn't. If her family just cared, I don't believe for one hot second, she would have died. She would never taken her own life. And Christmas was her favorite holiday. And it was in the letter that she wrote. She planned her suicide around the time and the holiday that was her favorite. And she never got to celebrate Christmas because her family just excluded her. They got tired of her. They felt she was a burden. Got sick of her being sick, whatever, and just forgot about her. That's not family. Most people with no heart. You don't forget about your family. I don't care what the hell's going on. You don't do that. You're in the wrong. You do something hurtful as family. Then you get your big britches on. And if you're too vain and shallow to say it, then you write it. And you ask people for forgiveness. Because if not, you permanently hurt people and your family. And sometimes you hurt so deep that something just clicks inside the person you're hurting and they forever change because they're protecting their heart. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. But I wish Brenda had the opportunity and the tools to express herself and feel free to sharing her journey, because she, I know, had the most and would have had the most incredible journey to share, and so many people would have been able to relate that during this time, like on Christmas and Christmas Eve, like today and tomorrow Christmas, that she would have helped other people to realize that they weren't alone and that she's not alone either. But sometimes it doesn't happen that way. And that's a sad shame. So to answer your question again, nobody asked to be alone for Christmas. And neither did I. But the second year around, it wasn't supposed to be that way. And I hope you're sitting in your car and you're smiling, a devious grin smile that you would always do. Proud of yourself. Took a second year, but am I ever going to give you a third? That's the truth. And after Christmas, life moves on, so do I. And I come out a hell of a lot stronger and a whole nother person. My backbone of steel has multiplied. Amen.